to the LA Dreaming Podcast, your guide to exploring Los Angeles. This is your host, Michelle, from ladreaming.com and la.dreaming on Instagram. In this episode, we are discussing one of the most iconic places to visit in Los Angeles, Griffith Observatory. I discovered your blog, Periodic Adventures, by finding your guide to Griffith Observatory on Pinterest. And after reading your guide, which is fabulous, I thought you would be the perfect guest to join me for a conversation about the incredible and free museum that is the Griffith Observatory. But as we get started with our conversation, would you mind introducing yourself, please?
Of course. Thank you for having me. My name is Alana Kuritsky. Like you said, I'm a travel blogger at Periodic Adventures. I started my travel blog in graduate school. It was 2018. I was earning my PhD in chemistry, so science is very near and dear to my heart, as is travel. So now I love to infuse my love of science with my travels. I really am trying to make travel planning more accessible to students and young adults who've never planned a trip before. So that's kind of what I'm all about.
Well, it was such a joy to get to find your blog. It has just been such a fabulous resource for me. And I feel like your guide to Griffith Observatory, it's so fabulous. So I'm so excited to talk to you about the observatory today. And I'm curious how you would describe Griffith Observatory to someone who has never been before.
Yes, Griffith Observatory is this beautiful science museum. It focuses on all things astronomy, but at the same time, it's this incredibly iconic building and place in Los Angeles. It sits on top of Mount Hollywood, so kind of near the Hollywood sign, and it overlooks the city. So you get science, you get these incredible city views, and it's been used in a lot of films, most famously, I'd say, in La La Land. So it's kind of this wonderful mishmash of science exhibits with a little bit of something extra for everyone.
Do you have memories of your first visit to Griffith Observatory? Were you younger when you first went?
I grew up in Los Angeles, so I have been going to Griffith Observatory my whole life. So I don't have that pinnacle, first visit moment, but I do remember it just being like an integral part of my childhood and going for field trips, going with summer camps, going with my own family. I went on dates there, and I've, gone back numerous times when I go back to the city to visit my family. So it's just an integral part. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. So it's kind of been part of your life through all of the different seasons.
Yes, exactly.
My first visit to the observatory was as an adult. So my first visit was just in the last 10 years, but I absolutely love it. And I just think it's such a spectacular place.
It is. It really is.
And I feel like something that is so fabulous about the observatory is that you don't even have to just step inside to be enjoying things. And of course, the views are so incredible. But what would you say are things on the outside of the observatory that guests can enjoy before even going through the doors?
Yes, totally. One thing I really love about Griffith Observatory is that they use the entire space that they have. So not just the indoors, but also the outdoors. So outside, kind of the first thing you notice when you get there is the Astronomers Monument, which pays tribute to pioneers of science like Copernicus and Newton. So you kind of see their faces on this giant pillar. Also outside, there's the Gottlieb Transit Corridor, which is kind of outside to the right. It's this cool instrument really that links the position of the sun and the moon with a calendar. So like you go there and this thing kind of moves shadows based on the position of the sun, and it'll tell you what day and time and what month it is. So that's cool. What else is outside? There's on the ground, I feel like people probably wouldn't notice this, but on the ground there are these planetary orbits that are marked on the ground. It's like a model, and it is to scale. And so the sun is front and center in front of the museum doors on the ground. But then you'll notice these kind of concentric circles that are all over the property that are marking the orbits of the planet. So just lots of cool things to discover outside.
I just think it's so incredible, all of the details that they have everywhere. And I think too, sometimes if you don't know to look for these details, you go there and you can get distracted by the incredible views and then you just step inside. But I personally just think that there's so much to explore and discover before you go in those doors. And I think it just enhances your overall visit. So I love that you pointed those things out. So I'm hoping that on people's next visits or on their first visit, they'll get to enjoy all of that before exploring the amazing inside.
Yes, totally agree. So much to see out there.
And then once you go inside the observatory, what can you share with us about some of the exhibits that they have on the inside?
Yes. So of course, that's kind of the main show is the inside exhibits. They're very well curated. And they did a big renovation, actually like a really interesting feat of engineering. I don't remember the exact year, but probably within the last 20 years where they like lifted the entire building up and put an entire new story of the building underneath. So the space is really huge and there are so many exhibits, lots of which are very new. Relatively. So you kind of just go in and you dive into the world of astronomy. Some things to point out, since I'm a chemist, I'm pretty partial to this giant periodic table that houses each individual element when it's safe and possible, obviously. So you kind of go up to this periodic table. There are different lights where you it'll highlight like these are the noble gases and these are the gases that were, you know, relevant for the Big Bang or different astronomy related things. So that's kind of cool and interesting. They have a working Tesla coil, which is not something that all science museums have. They do have it on like a schedule. So you have to kind of plan that into your itinerary for visiting, but definitely worth it because the Tesla coil is very cool. There are some exhibits on the history of astronomy, astronomers themselves, the instruments used, like telescopes and things like that. So you can kind of see these like ancient instruments, and they look really old and interesting and kind of out of a movie, which is really cool to see, especially for kids. I think it's really cool to see how that's developed and kind of dive into that older world of astronomy. One of my favorite rooms is the Gunther Depths of Space exhibit, which is, I believe it's in that new like underground floor that they put in. It's super fun and interactive. It's this large room with showcases kind of on each planet. So you can go up to all the planets individually and you can like weigh yourself on each planet. So you can see how much you would weigh on Jupiter, on Neptune, for example. So that's kind of just a fun interactive space. And then behind, kind of hidden in that space, I would say it's not necessarily behind, but it's behind the planets a little bit. There's this Richter scale, which if you are maybe new to Los Angeles or California, you maybe won't know what that is, but that's an instrument that detects and measures earthquakes. So there's a Richter scale back there where you can try to like trigger and register your own mini earthquake by like jumping and like trying to make it register your movement. So that's really fun. There's just so many cool interactive elements that make it really interesting for people who are interested in science and people who are new to the field and just kind of trying to take it all in. It's super approachable. So lots to say, lots to discover there.
To me, it's so incredible how much you can do there for free. It just blows my mind how jam-packed it is with interesting things to see. And I love that it's interactive as well. Like, that's so cool that you can see what you would weigh on the different planets.
I love that so much. I do it every time I'm there, even though I do it every time I'm there, it's still so much fun.
And the one thing that I still haven't done there, but it is on my to-do list, is going inside the planetarium to see a show. And I'm curious if you have done that and if you would recommend for people to include that in their visit.
Yes, I have done it, and it is truly incredible, absolutely worth adding to your visit. A couple things to note about that. While the observatory is free to visit, the planetarium is a ticketed experience. So if you are looking for a completely free visit, you'd have to skip the planetarium show. But I will say, I think it really is worth the price and worth adding on to your visit. It has really incredible technology that you just can't see anywhere. So besides this planetarium, so it makes for this really impressive show that's presented live, by the way. So there's like a real human working these instruments and doing a voiceover. So that's really fascinating. And I just checked this morning. Tickets are $10 for adults, and there is a student discount and discounts for children and such. So, I do think it's definitely worth that price.
Oh, that's great. Okay, definitely adding that onto my next visit. And I'm curious if you have any tips for maybe a good time of day to visit. Because whenever I take people there, I always try to get to show them a telescope if any of the telescopes are available for viewing anything. But a few times the lines have just been incredibly long. So I'm just curious if you have any idea of maybe better times of days to try to avoid the crowds?
Yes, that could definitely be a challenge, especially for those telescopes. We haven't really talked about this yet, but there are actual working telescopes on the outside kind of top part of the observatory. So one thing you do want to try to do is go see those telescopes. But yes, if it's crowded, it can be a challenge. I would say, kind of like a lot of tourist attractions, the best times are usually right when they open or kind of near closing time. And generally speaking, weekdays are better than weekends in terms of crowd levels. Although I will say sometimes, especially in the summer, on weekdays, you can be battling like field trip and summer camp crowds, which maybe you wouldn't expect on a weekday. You would think that like everyone's working, but you might end up with that. So yeah, I would say on clear nights, if you're trying to actually look through the telescopes, obviously the sun needs to be set. And Griffith is quite open quite late for a typical museum because of those telescopes, and they do allow public viewings. So the museum doesn't actually close until 10 p.m. So if you can get there closer towards that end, I would assume that it is less crowded because most kids are asleep. The summer camps are gone by then, so that kind of thing. And yeah, just kind of typical tips like avoiding holidays and that kind of thing. It is tricky.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And just touching on the telescopes, I'm curious if there's anything that maybe you've seen through the telescopes over the years that stand out to you as being extra exciting.
Oh, I wish actually. It's funny. I was thinking about my visits, and typically, because I visited so much as a kid, my family didn't really go late at night to see through the telescopes. So I haven't actually looked through the telescopes myself because I'm usually there in the day. I think the last time I was there was this last January, and I went at sunset, which was amazing to watch the sunset from like the exterior of Griffith Observatory, and then so many people were there. It was so fun. Like everyone was clapping when the sun went down. But yeah, that was like the latest time I was there. So I didn't actually look in the telescope. So I know that's like shocking. That's on my to-do list.
See, it's cool that, there's so many things to do there. And depending on the time of day you go, I feel like there's different ways and things for you to enjoy about that particular time of day. But actually, for me, my very first visit, it was at night. I went for one of their public star parties. So it was so cool to see when I walked up that all of these volunteers had small telescopes set up on the lawn, and then you could wait in line to go to the big telescopes, actually that are part of the observatory. So when my family and I walked up, there was this man that when we passed by, he said, "Oh, if you want to see Jupiter, I have it lined up in my telescope." So just within a few minutes of being at the observatory, I got to see Jupiter, which I am sure does not happen all that often. But I think it's really cool that they do have special events at different times, like the star parties, where you can really just get a special experience.
Yes, totally. The star parties are so cool. And I love how it just brings the public together. Like, it's not this stuffy, like, you know, you kind of picture like those older scientists who kind of, you know, are pushing up their glasses and, you know, they're just like way smarter than you are. It's like not like that at all. It's just like people who are enthusiasts about the stars and the cosmos. And it's just so beautiful to have everyone be able to experience that.
Absolutely. And I love that as fun as it is, I just also think it's such a great educational experience. And I just love the observatory so much.
Me too.
Well, I know earlier you touched on the fact that Griffith Observatory is also a filming location. And I agree that I think La La Land is probably what it's currently most recognized for, but it's also been used in other iconic productions like Rebel Without a Cause. And I think they still have a little small tribute to James Dean on the exterior of the observatory. Because I remember seeing that one of the times that I was there. And I'm curious if there's other productions that you maybe have recognized the observatory in over the years.
Yes. First of all, they do have that James Dean tribute. You can totally go see that. It's on the exterior of the building. But yes, I love when you see it in films and you're like, oh my gosh, I've been there. Oh my gosh, I know that place. And I have seen it in quite a few films just kind of like pop up. Like I wasn't expecting to see it. So a couple of them are The Terminator. When he first kind of arrives, he's at Griffith Observatory. It's in the Transformers movie. And one of the Charlie's Angels movies with, you know, Cameron Diaz, that whole crew. And it does pop up in other things, but I would say those are the most recognizable. Like, for example, since it's such a large, you know, Griffith Observatory has this large space and lots of grounds. A tunnel on the grounds was used in Back to the Future 2, but like you probably wouldn't see that and jump up and be like, that's Griffith Observatory. Like it just looks like a tunnel. So I would say those first three movies, and then for sure La La Land and Rebel Without a Cause, it's used in.
Yeah, I think La La Land, it's just so dreamy when they go to the observatory. I love it so much.
Yes, and the planetarium scene is just like so beautiful. Definitely makes you want to go see a show in there.
And then as far as getting to the observatory, what tips do you have for people? I know there's so many ways to get there, but I'm just curious what some tips you might have about getting there are.
Yes, this is always a super hot topic, and it always like blows up my socials when I make videos about this, because I think it's one of everyone's least favorite parts of Griffith Observatory is the like getting there and the parking situation, which is always a hot topic in Los Angeles anyway. There is a designated parking lot on the top of the hill, but it is important to remember that Griffith Observatory is quite literally on the top of a mountain. So if you can't park in that parking lot because it fills up quickly and it's pretty small, you start to have to like hike up to the observatory from wherever you park. So people used to park on Western Canyon Road, which is like a side street leading up to the mountain. But the last time I was there in January, the road was closed for construction, so they weren't allowing people to park there, which if you didn't know that, you didn't know the status of that side street, you could always drive up and then turn around. Like, it's not really a big deal. But my biggest tip probably for getting there is to take the Dash Observatory bus. It's a free bus that travels on a loop around the Los Feliz area, which is at the bottom of Mount Hollywood, which is where Griffith Observatory is. And then it goes all the way up to Griffith Observatory through Griffith Park. So you can park on the surface streets in Los Feliz, or even at the Greek Theater, which is in Griffith Park, assuming there aren't any events using that lot. And then you can just take this free bus. It's super easy and it's free, so you don't have to climb this like literal mountain to get to the observatory. I love it.
Okay, I am so glad that you shared that the bus picks up from the parking by the Greek, because I have parked there quite often, and every single time I have walked up the hill, whether or not I just took the sidewalk, or sometimes I've decided to go down a little bit and then hike up to the observatory. But I guess when I started hearing about the Dash bus, I just assumed that it picked you up from a different part of the city. So it never crossed my mind that it might pick up from that parking lot. So I am so thankful that you just said that, because I know not everybody wants to hike up there, or, has the energy to get up there.
Yeah.
So that I think is just such a time saver and an energy saver to know that.
For sure. And it gets so hot in the summers, especially in Los Angeles, that like hiking up to the Griffith Observatory is not, it's not an easy feat oftentimes, especially if you have like a family, if you're trying to bring strollers, or if you know you're handicapped and you need a wheelchair or something, like you can't just get to Griffith Observatory that way. So the bus is definitely the way to go.
I believe, because one of the last times I went there, I did pay for parking in the lot, because I was able to get a parking spot. And I believe it was $15 for the whole day. This was a few years ago, so that might have changed. But it is very convenient to get to park up there. But on my first visit, when I came to the Star Party, the parking lot was filled up when I got there. And we didn't know about parking by the Greek Theater, which I think would have been easier. So we parked on the road that you mentioned earlier. And it's actually kind of scary, I think, parking at night, because it's so dark and it feels like you're just parking on the edge of the mountain. So I think it's a bit more comfortable getting to park at the Greek Theater. And then does the bus run all throughout the day and night, or are there specific times for that?
Yes, it does. I think it follows at least Griffith Observatory's hours. And as for the parking at the top, I do think it's more expensive now, only because I was just there in January. I think I paid like $10 for an hour, which was a bit steep in my opinion, but it's Los Angeles, so what can you do? And yes, I agree that, yeah, Western Canyon Road can be a little. It feels a little treacherous almost to park on it because it's not like the actual parking is on the side of the road, which is just like dirt. On one side you have the mountain, so you're okay, but the other side is just the drop off of the mountain. I think there is like a railing there, but it doesn't feel like the most safe, especially if you're like unloading kids from like car seats and you need space. But yeah, the Dash bus runs all hours that Griffith is open, and so it's very helpful.
And I know that it's a popular spot to have a little picnic on the lawn, and that they have places to eat at the observatory. Have you ever eaten there? I haven't yet, but I know that they have those options.
I have, yeah. It's they have just a little cafe, and it's kind of like there's like grab and go stuff, so like grab and go sandwiches, salads, chips and drinks and stuff. So it's not like a full kitchen where you can order, whatever you want to eat. But it's decent. I would say if you like really wanted some good Los Angeles eats that, I would bring like a picnic somewhere, like take out from somewhere and then bring it up, as opposed to eating at the cafe, not to throw any shade at the cafe, but I just think there's so many delicious places in Los Angeles that, probably eating a grab-and-go chicken Caesar sandwich is not the highest quality tier of Los Angeles food.
Oh, I absolutely agree. We are so spoiled with so many fabulous places to eat. So yeah, there's, I feel like, a lot of great places on your way to the observatory. And just really quick, while we're still talking about the observatory, I absolutely love that you can see the Hollywood sign from there. I know you're still not incredibly close to the sign, but especially for people visiting Los Angeles, whenever they're asking me for tips on seeing the Hollywood sign, but the Griffith Observatory is in their itinerary, if they're not really doing any other place where they might be able to see the sign, I just tell them, like, you're going to be able to see the sign from the observatory. Especially if you have your camera, you can get some great photos, and then you don't have to worry about squeezing it in on another day or on another activity. So I just love that you get such fabulous views of downtown, but also the iconic Hollywood sign.
Yes, me too. Me too. I definitely also recommend the same. If you aren't interested in necessarily hiking up to the Hollywood sign or getting really close, this is definitely the best compromise because you get the amazing Griffith Observatory as well.
And while you mentioned hiking, I do think Griffith Park as a whole is just such a fun place to hike. And there's so much hiking available right around the observatory. So I think for people who are interested in hiking, you can absolutely incorporate a visit to the observatory with a fabulous hike in that area as well.
Yes, totally. Yeah, you can also, you know, if you get that parking at the observatory at the top, you could start at the top and then go down and then come back up. Lots of options.
Yeah, there was one I did. So I had parked by the Griffith Observatory, or sorry, I parked by the Greek Theater, and then I took the Boy Scout Trail, which is south or east of the theater, and then it takes you up to the observatory, and then I combined that with the Charlie Turner Trail, and then eventually wound up at Captain's Roost, higher up in Griffith Observatory, which just also had incredible views, and it was so awesome to look back and see the observatory in the distance. So there's just so many incredible hikes you can do in that area. But I'm curious what places nearby the observatory you would recommend for people to include in their itinerary.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the biggest attractions, most of them are probably at least like a 20-minute drive away, just to kind of prepare you for your visiting and scheduling your own itinerary, just so that you don't, you know, kind of overpack your day or assume that you can get from Griffith Observatory to, I don't know, like somewhere extreme would be like Santa Monica in 20 minutes. Things are far in Los Angeles. It's a very spread out city. That said, there are some things pretty local around Griffith Observatory and Griffith Park that you can fill your day with. So we have been talking about the Hollywood sign. If you wanted to get closer, I would say Lake Hollywood Park is probably the best and the closest place you can get without hiking up to the sign and without trespassing, which is a really big problem for the Hollywood sign because it's kind of situated back in these residential areas. So people just like traipse through other people's yards and things, and it's pretty horrible. So Lake Hollywood Park would be a recommendation for that. Also nearby, it's like just outside of Griffith Park, is the Autry Museum of the American West, which I just visited in January. I had visited on, you know, a field trip in like fourth grade or something, but I just revisited and I absolutely love this museum. I think it's super fascinating and really unique and totally worth a visit. It covers everything in the American West. So not just like the stories of cowboys, but it tells you, you know, there's an entire exhibit on Mexico's influence and role in the American West and Native Americans as well. There's an outdoor space with you know, a Western style garden with different, you know, foliage that's native to the American West. So really interesting museum. Highly recommend that one. And then right across from the Autry is the LA Zoo. So if you're looking for super family friendly spot, the LA Zoo is very fun. They also have a lot of cool events. So in December, they have their holiday lights where they kind of deck out the entire place with lights, which is fun. And then one final recommendation, this is kind of an offbeat spot, but nearby there is the old abandoned LA Zoo. So the LA Zoo used to be in this location. It closed in the 1960s, and now it's just kind of abandoned. You can go walking through old like enclosures that used to have animals in them. They're it's just open, so you can just go hiking and walking through there. It's a little tricky to find, so you'd have to, like, you know, do some researching on how to actually get to all of those enclosures, but kind of a weird offbeat thing that's right nearby.
Yes, my mom and I did that a few years ago, and we thought it was so interesting to go there. And I think it makes for a really cool backdrop for some photos as well.
Yes, totally. It's so unique. Like, where else could you go in like an old lion enclosure? You just can't do that. So super cool.
And then I think something that's not too far from the old zoo enclosures, also part of Griffith Park, which, I mean, Griffith Park is gigantic, but still kind of on that side. I know there's the merry-go-round, and for Disney fans, that is where Walt Disney was sitting on a bench watching his daughters ride the merry-go-round, and he came up with the idea for Disneyland. And then on the third Sunday of every month, close by to that is Walt Disney's barn, which opens up for the public, and they can go see different Disney memorabilia for free. So that's something that I always love encouraging people to check out in the Griffith Park area.
That is so neat. I'm a huge Disney fan, and I didn't know about Disney's barn. That sounds super fun.
Oh yeah, it is absolutely fantastic. So the barn that's there, it used to be in Walt Disney's backyard. And then after he passed away, his daughter Diane and then other people in the Disney community, they preserved that barn. And then eventually it was moved over to Griffith Park. So it's over by the Travel Time Train Museum area. And it's it is such a short window that it only opens up on the third Sunday of the month, and it's open, I think, from about 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So it's a really narrow window, but it's a free experience, and it's so cool. There's so much incredible memorabilia. And then on occasion, they have Disney legends, or maybe people that just wrote a Disney book. They'll come and just meet and talk with people. So it's really something quite special to get to do in that area.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. I love Los Angeles because of things like that. Like, I love that I grew up there. I've never heard of this thing, but there it is. Like, there's so much to discover in this city, and I love it. I love it so much.
And then I'm curious about one other spot that it's been on my to-do list for forever, and it's kind of within this area. And I'm just curious if you have been, have you ever gone to the Ferndale Trail or the Trails Cafe?
Oh, I have not. Tell me about
that. That has been all over my social media off and on, but it looks like a very gentle trail. I always see a bunch of families with kids and young kids going on the trail. So it looks like it's a pretty gentle walk. I'm sure eventually it gets harder depending on how long you want to go for. You're just completely surrounded by trees and nature, and there's like a little creek that you're walking next to. And then I think eventually that leads you to this little cafe. It's called the Trails Cafe, and it just looks like such a cozy and fun spot and way to be out in nature.
Oh, I love that. That sounds so fun.
Yes, so I hope we've both given people some ideas of what they might be able to incorporate with a visit to the observatory and just truly get the most out of their time in that area.
Yes, totally. Lots to do.
And I would love for you to share your social media and share about your blog so everybody can connect with you and follow along on your travel adventures.
Yes, I can be found on Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest at Periodic Adventures. That's periodic like the periodic table because I'm a chemist. We love a pun. So Periodic Adventures, and my blog is periodicadventures.com, and my name's Alana Karitsky. It's been awesome being here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. This was such a joy to get to talk to you, and I am so excited to continue following along with your adventures. Thank you for listening to this episode of the LA Dreaming Podcast. If you'd like more information on what we discussed in today's show, be sure to head to ladreaming.com and connect with me on Instagram at la.dreaming.